Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. I was so looking forward to this episode because finally I can tell you what I've been working on. And it's all for you. Actually, since I started my online business, I've been applying this strategy and it really helped me build my brand, grow my business, and connect with great people from all around the world. And I'm talking about connecting with influencers. And I know that sometimes podcasters, authors, bloggers, they want to connect with these people because they want to share great value with their audience by adding other people's expertise to help them craft the best content possible. So I decided to conduct a five-day challenge called Book an Interview with an Influencer. And if you really want to do that, it's easy. You just go at interviewintensiveacademy.com, you enter your name and email, and we'll get started shortly in that challenge. So it starts pretty soon. You don't want to miss it. Interviewintensiveacademy.com, enter your name and email, and we will get started in a few days. So come join me on the other side. I'm so looking forward to meet you there. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 248.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
This week on my podcast, I interview Perry Marshall and we talk about the 80-20 principle in sales and marketing. You have to stay tuned until the end because this is one of the most detailed, step-by-step, taking notes episode you'll ever hear on this podcast. So he's very generous with everything that he's explaining. If you have not read his book yet, go get it. The link is in the show notes page. And I won't say more about it because you really need to listen to it. So enjoy, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Perry Marshall. And Perry is one of the world's most expensive and sought-after business consultants. Clients seek his ability to integrate engineering, sales, art, and psychology. He launched two movements in modern marketing. His Google AdWords book laid the foundations for the $100 billion pay-per-click industry, and techniques he pioneered are standard best practices. He wrote a bestseller on web advertising, Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords. And more recently, he's turned 80-20 into a verb. Yeah, 80-20 is not just a fact about your business, it's action you take on your business. It's a central lever for every great strategy. And his book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing, is mandatory in many growing companies. So Perry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, and delighted to talk to your folks today, and we'll go down a bunch of pretty interesting rabbit holes and help some people put some more money in their pockets. So
yes,
can't wait to go.
Bottom line, that's what people want. Of course, they want to help their audience, but it helps when it's profitable.
That's right.
So Perry, where did this fascination about the 80-20 principle come from?
Well, it came from reading Richard Koch's book, and previously, I was like most people, was like 80-20, okay, whatever. 80% of your money comes from 20% of your customers, mm-hmm. Fine. Like everybody supposedly, hopefully knows that, but I didn't have any idea how deep it went. And I was reading Richard's book. Ken McCarthy had said, oh, you've got to read this book, and his recommendations are always golden. And so I was on page 14 and Richard just made this offhand comment that he never returned to anywhere else in the book. And he mentioned that 80-20 had a great deal to do with chaos theory and fractals. And now that's a very geeky little subject that hopefully by the end of our conversation, everybody will realize we all actually need to know something about this because it'll make your business more profitable. And I suddenly like made it like this 10-second connection where my brain set on fire. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. If that's true, whoa. And all of a sudden it was like this whole door opened up and I was in this whole new universe. And I suddenly saw, oh my goodness, there's a bunch of really practical things that you could do with this that I don't think anybody's really done. And I ran home and I got out, some papers and a calculator and some reports from my business and stuff. And at the time, I had been in business for maybe a year and a half. You know, mm-hmm. I was kind of a young consultant, just kind of getting my feet on the ground. And I had all these things that I had started. And, you know, some of them were just barely off the ground and some of them were kind of moving along. And I was like, oh, my word, this is everywhere. Oh my word. And I really saw that there is a universal pattern. It is all over the place. It's vertical, it's horizontal, it's up and down, it's sideways, it's outside your window, it's in your hard drive, it's in your spreadsheets. That 80-20 is really everywhere. And if you really started to look at this, you could find all kinds of hidden levers in your business that you've never seen before. It was like putting on X-ray vision goggles. and so I became very excited about this. And, you know, it's just not too often that you could get one idea and 14 years later, you're still finding new ways to use it. But that is the case. And so I apply this to almost everything. I think this is a huge shortcut for people to see how to solve a problem, how to make something go away, or how to make a decision. So there's definitely some money in this for those who are willing to pay attention.
So for those people listening who still don't know what 80-20 stands for, you said it in quite a short part of sentence in this answer, but would you mind explaining a little bit more what it stands for?
So 80-20 says that 20% of the causes create 80% of the effects, and the other 80% of the causes only create 20% of the effects. So it's true in like any spreadsheet that just about in your business. Like it could be your Google clicks, it could be the time that people spend on your website, and the different pages, it could be the customer returns or defects or customer complaints. They all follow an 80-20 pattern, which says again that 20% of the complainers issue 80% of the complaints, or 20% of the purchase orders have 80% of the money, or 20% of the real estate investors own 80% of the real estate. So this is everywhere. 20% of the files on your hard drive take up 80% of the space. And so this is, it's really everywhere. 20% of the roads in your town have 80% of the cars. And it just goes on and on. Like we could literally walk through your house and point at objects and or people or whatever and say, well, see, there's an 80-20 and there's one and there's one and there's one. It's everywhere. And so what I realized was that what people are doing is they're using 80-20 in their rear view mirror after it happens and saying, oh yeah, well, of course 20% of the customers did 80% of the money, but they're not using it to make predictions. Mm-hmm. And they're not using it, usually they're not using it anywhere near as much as they should to eliminate things. Mm-hmm. and say no to things and disqualify things. So I found that 80-20 was usually the fastest path to explaining why any good business strategy is good. Like if we took a marketing anybody's marketing library, and you blindfolded me and said, okay, stumble through this room and grab a book and open it to some page and point to a marketing strategy that's in that book, I could undoubtedly give you an explanation of why that strategy is done the way it's done based on 80-20. So if you know 80-20, you kind of have this secret decoder ring for everything.
And you also said a little bit earlier that the 80-20 is fractal, and that's what people don't, I guess, take advantage of enough. Would you go deeper into saying how it's fractal and how could marketers go deeper into that and help them get a more profitable business?
So fractal means that you have a pattern that repeats over and over and over again, and it ends up being the same pattern whether you're looking through a microscope or a telescope. Okay, so let me give you a couple examples of fractals. So I'm standing in my room and I'm looking out my office and there's a tree outside. Okay, so I can look at the total, you know, the tree is 50 feet tall and it's got that branching pattern, but I can zoom in to one of the main branches and I can zoom in to the smaller branches and I can zoom into the twigs and I can zoom into the leaves. And I just keep seeing a branching pattern. And I could go all the way to magnifying glass on the leaf or a microscope on the leaf. And I mean, all the way down to individual cells, I'm going to see branches, you know, feeding nutrients into those. Okay. So there's kind of one overall branching pattern, but it repeats literally a million times. At every different size, so whether you're standing 100 feet from the tree, 2 feet from the tree, an inch from the tree, or if you're an insect, you see the same pattern over and over again. So that's what fractal means. So rivers are fractal, and there's lots of things in the world that are fractal. Well, 80-20 is fractal. What does that mean? Here's what it means. And this is like a $1 million moment when I realized this. There's an 80-20 inside every 80-20. And another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. Okay, and so here's what happens. So let's say you have you're a big company and you have 1,000 salespeople. Okay? Well, 80-20 says 200 of those salespeople are going to sell 80% of what gets sold. And the other 800 are only going to sell 20% of what gets sold. Now, if you do that math, that means that person for person, the top 200 sell 16 times more than the bottom 800. Okay? Now, what people don't realize is 80-20 it's almost like a law of nature. It's really impossible to get around it, especially when you have large numbers. So, you know, you could hire a new vice president of sales. You could beat him with sticks. You know, you could flog him. You could have incentive trips and cruises and awards and everything else. No matter what you do, 80-20 is still going to be true. There's still going to be some that way outperform the others, and there's still going to be some that don't. And it doesn't matter. You can go try to fix all the broken ones and you know, work with all of the bad salespeople and try to make them good, but you'll never really fix most of them, and you'll actually make a lot more money if you just go to the good ones and work with them. Okay, and try to help them out. And because you can't change this. Now, of course, one individual person can change their approach, but in large numbers, you're not going to change the way that people behave. And so there's always, you know, we all understand, like, we want the world to be a certain way, but an 80-20 person says, I'm going to deal with the is world, not the should be world.
Yeah.
And if the is world says that the bottom 800 salespeople aren't really going to be worth all that much, well, I'm going to fire them and I'm going to work with the 200. And I just got rid of 800 employees that I don't need.
Yes.
I just cut a huge amount of waste, and now I can take all that money and I can spend it in order to make the 200 do even better. Now, let's look at those 200. They're selling 80%. What 80-20 says is 20% of them sell 80% of the 80%. Okay, so 40 of the salespeople will be responsible for 64% of the sales. But you can do it again. So the top 20% of the 20 is 4. The top 4 people will sell 50% of everything that gets sold. Now, this is pretty interesting.
It is.
And it's true. It's true. And then the top 4, you could probably, the one guy between the top 4 salespeople, half of what those 4 people sell is probably sold by one of them. Okay, so you started with 1,000 salespeople, and one of them is selling 25% of everything that company moves. Why? Because he's the guy that got the contract with Walmart or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, this is almost like a law of nature that this is going to happen. So. Yeah. You can fight it or you can cooperate with it. You get to decide, but you can't even decide until you're aware of it. And what happened when people read my book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing, they go, oh my word, I never saw that before. Oh my, it's everywhere. Perry, it's everywhere. I'm seeing it. I was telling, you know, it's like out the window driving my car. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a bunch of power lines and 80% of the electricity runs through 20% of those wires. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, yes, it does.
And this,
go ahead.
Sorry, and this relates to another part of your book where you talk about outsourcing and how much time people can save if, let's say, they hire 3 people for the same duty and then hire them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever the assignment takes time to end, and then you could evaluate better, like, who's responsible of the best outcome, and then you could go with that person. Or whenever you're running a business, how important it is to focus on your strength and hire people that are better than you into doing the rest of it so you could leverage your business better. So this is actually, as you say, everywhere.
Well, yeah, and so one of the things that is kind of built into 80-20 is it's the fact that everything is actually exponential. Mm. It's not linear.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna address exactly what you said 10 seconds ago, but first I want to talk about our 1,000 salespeople again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at those 1,000 salespeople, what you really end up seeing is that, like, one person sells $1 million and 10 people sell 100,000 and 100 people sell 10,000 and 1,000 people sell 1,000. So, like, this is called a power law. So you have the one guy that sells $1 million, and then you have it takes 10 other guys to sell $1 million, and then it takes 100 guys to sell another $1 million. This is actually how most of the numbers in business work. And so you can, now jumping back to what you said, you can apply this to your time. So most people, if they're, like, getting paid $15 an hour to help at an office, most people kind of look and they think, well, you know, right now she's not being very productive, so she's, like, worth $5 an hour right now. But then if she gets off her butt and does some other stuff, then she's worth $20 an hour. And then if she does some other stuff, maybe she's worth $25, and it averages out to $15. Well, that's not really how money works. Here's how money works. Money works like this. There's stuff that's worth $1 an hour, and there's a whole bunch of it. And there's stuff that's worth $10 an hour, and there's stuff that's worth $100. There's stuff that's worth $1,000 an hour. There's stuff that's worth $10,000 an hour. And whatever you're doing at the time, it's not like 5, 10, 15, 20. It's like 1, 10, 100, 1,000. Mm. Okay, so let me give you an example of this. So you have a dentist office, and you have a receptionist, and the receptionist is filing her nails and checking Facebook and whatever, right? Doing some papers. Well, the phone rings. She picks up. She doesn't feel like, you know, interrupting her texting, so the phone rings and she says, Wood Lake Dental, can you hold, please? And then she puts the person on hold. Okay, and then the person's on for a minute, and then she finishes texting, and then she picks up the phone. But then the person is gone. Well, that person was going to spend $3,000 on a crown, but now they're not anymore. And how long did it take to lose that person? 1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay, so you lost $3,000 a minute. Which is, what's that, $180,000 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Because a receptionist who gets paid $15 an hour wanted to be texting instead of answering the phone. Okay, and that's not the only expense, because the dentist also spent all this money on advertising to get the phone to ring, right? There was a Google ad, there was Yellow Pages, there was Facebook, there was, Yelp, or there was, you know, whatever it is that they do to get customers. All that has been going on too, and all of that was wasted on top of the opportunity cost, right?
Yes.
And so the gains and losses in business are not linear, they're exponential. And frankly, like, if the lady always answers the phone and always does a good job, I don't really care if she's checking Facebook. Right? It's like, as long as she does,
yeah.
Like, as long as she does the $1,000 an hour job.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't really care so much about the $10 an hour stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so this means what you need to do every day. Like, when you start your day, you're checking your email, you're driving to the office supply store, you're talking to a client, you're negotiating a deal. You should be asking yourself.
These are not the $100,000, let's say, a month duties.
Yeah, is this a $10 an hour job?
Yeah.
Is this a $100 an hour job, or a $1,000?
Yeah.
Now, if you just take those three things, most entrepreneurs are either doing one of those three things. And a lot of us, we do all of these little $10 an hour jobs, and we actually procrastinate the $1,000 an hour stuff, or we just push it away.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse yet, we outsource the wrong stuff. Like, here's an example. If I had a dollar for every person who said, "Who can I hire to manage my Google AdWords for me?" Well, Google AdWords is one of the hardest things to outsource that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's way harder than outsourcing your accounting or like anything like that. Okay. And if you hire somebody to do it, they don't have an incentive to do it right because they're spending your money. Okay.
<Yeah.
laughs> there are tons
Obviously.
Of who are burning people's money in a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner has no idea you could get 3, 4, 5 times more clicks for the same amount of money. You get more traffic. It'd be more profitable, but they've outsourced it. Meanwhile, the same business owner, they're mopping their own floors. They're washing their own dishes. They're cooking their own meals. They're doing their own laundry. They're mowing their own lawn. Okay? If you're mowing your lawn and you have a person you've hired managing Google AdWords, you need to have that guy mow your lawn and you need to run your AdWords.
Yeah.
Okay? or your Facebook ads or whatever. Like buying advertising on the internet is a very, very boutique activity that is specific to your business. It's specific to your customers. Yes, there are generic principles of the whole thing, and I have them in my books and stuff like that. But really, unless you're like truly a bona fide CEO of a decent sized company, good chance you should actually be doing this yourself. Mm-hmm. So you really got to get 80-20 about your time. If you have an 80-20 mindset, you'll suddenly see these massive amounts of time that people are wasting, and they think they feel productive. They think they're doing good stuff, and they're really not.
Yeah, and you're right, and you gave such a great explanation on that. Let's switch into another part of your book where you talk about how split testing at each step of the funnel is an important thing to do to leverage your business. So would you say a little words about that?
Yes. So 80-20 is all about, you know, there's all these things you could do, but a few of them are huge levers. They are these little hinges that big doors swing on. So let me talk about the hinges of a sales funnel. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a Google ad or a Facebook ad or any other kind of ad on the banner ad, anything like that, you have a series of steps that a customer has to go through before they're ready to give you money. So here's a typical path. So first they have to see the ad, okay? Then they have to decide they're interested and click on it. Then they come to your landing page and you tell them whatever you're going to tell them there. And then they need to express some level of interest and go to the next step. And there might be two or three steps, and then they're actually asked to buy something, and then they buy something, and then after that, hopefully, they buy something else, because I don't think you can't really consider them your customer until they've actually bought twice. That's when they're really a customer, okay? So from before the first click to the last sale. So I've been doing this for years and teaching this for years. So the ad, let's start with the ad. Okay, if you start testing ads, you will quickly, probably by the time you've tested 10 ads, you will find another ad that gets clicked on 2 to 4 times more than the one you're currently using. And you can just test them, A versus B. Mm-hmm. You can do this on Facebook. You can do this on Google. You can do this on a lot of platforms. A versus B, you start testing some ads, all of a sudden, you're 4 times better. All right. Then you start testing landing pages. All right. Let's try a bunch of different landing pages. If you test 3, 4, 5, 6 landing pages, you'll probably get one that's 25 to 50% better than the one you started with. Okay.
Let me just stop you for a moment here, Perry, because how long should people stop then? Because let's say you're doing a Facebook ads or you're on Google AdWords and you're testing several ads, and you were testing, let's say 3, and you found the best one. So you got that one. But then what if you found, like, do you go with 2 other ones, 3 other ones and see if you get one that converts better?
Well, so you can usually tell, like with an ad, you can usually tell if it's really better or not by the time it's got 30 clicks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Or if you got 2 different landing pages, you usually know which one's better for sure by the time each one's gotten 30 signups. Okay. So like 30 is kind of the magic number.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I run 10 ads and I have a better one, and let's say I just 3X'd. I got a 3X from my ads. Okay. So now I'm getting 3 times as many clicks for the same amount of money. Then I improve my landing page. I improve that by 50%. Well, I take the 3 times 1.5, that's 4.5. Mm. I just got 4.5 times more signups than I used to before, just by split testing the landing page, right? Then let's say you test the sales page and you get a 25% improvement on your sales page after a few tests. Well, now it's 4.5 times 1 and a quarter, which is probably 6. Well, right there, right there, you just improved your advertising return on investment by 6. Okay, and we still haven't added autoresponder messages, which would probably help a whole lot. We still haven't like done a webinar, or we haven't gone to a negotiating class so we could get better, you know, better deals put together. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So in a sales funnel, you have all like a person has to go through every step. So every time you multiply a step, you multiply the whole thing. And so this is it's not actually unusual. If you get really disciplined about a sales funnel, you could improve it by 4x, 5x, 10x, 20 times in maybe 3 to 6 months if you're really focused on it. And now, if you're working on that, that's $1,000 an hour work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And where would you say, Perry, that since the 80-20 principle is kind of everywhere, that you were the most surprised to recognize that it worked and you thought it didn't? Like that was, let's say in your head, that was an exception where it didn't work and you found out it still worked.
It was in the inherent positioning of businesses and the inherent viability of some businesses over others. So let me give you an example. When I went into sales, my wife was pregnant. I got laid off from my job in engineering. I went into sales because I didn't really know what else to do. And you know, well, all right, here we go. So, you know, 2 years of bologna sandwiches and ramen soup. Okay. I eventually got fired from that job. I went, took this other job, and that other business, it grew from $200,000 to $4 million in sales in 4 years. And we sold the company for $18 million and I got some stock options and it was a winner. Okay. Okay. Then, you know, fast forward a couple of years and I'm in my consulting business and I end up like doing this magic carpet ride of Google AdWords. Well, what I realized, I learned this from Richard Koch. Again, he wrote the original 80-20 book. He defines something he calls a star business. And a star business is it's when you're number one in a market that's growing 10% or faster every year. Now this is super important. It's a little bit advanced, but like it's going to save somebody 5 years. Somebody who's listening, this is going to save you 5 years of misery in your life. So listen very closely. There are a lot of businesses that are never going to ever get past mediocre, no matter what you do. They will not. You could apply all the best marketing to them. You could hire a platoon of management consultants. You could hire a branding consultant. You could do anything you want. And that business is never going to really take off. Why? Because it's not the number one business in a growing market. Okay. So, for example, let's say that you are one of the 6 Mexican restaurants in your town and you're the third biggest one, you know, and the biggest one is really successful. You will probably never be number one no matter what you do. You just won't. Why? Because it's the way the math of business works. Like once somebody is number one, it's why incumbents usually win in elections. Okay, it's because they got there first. Like, Pepsi is never going to pass up Coke. I don't care what they do. Unless Coke screws it up, It doesn't matter how many commercials they run. So what you need to do is, if you're not number one in a growing market, well, first of all, don't go into any business where the market's not growing. If the market's not growing, don't go into that business. Okay? But here's the more subtle part. You want to be number one in a market. And if you're not number one, then you need to find a part of the market that's not being served and make yourself number one mm-hmm. doing that. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're not the number one Mexican restaurant, and there's already a bunch of Mexican restaurants, start a Peruvian restaurant or a tapas restaurant. Mm-hmm. Or some other kind of restaurant where you don't have any competition. Mm-hmm. And own that niche. You'll make more money being the biggest tapas restaurant instead of trying in vain to be the biggest Mexican restaurant. So this is in Richard Koch's book, The Star Principle. And when I saw this, I looked backwards and I realized everything I'd ever done that was successful matched that rule. That's what happened when I was successful in Google AdWords. That's what happened when I was successful with that high-tech company I mentioned that grew to $4 million. It's what I did when I put out 80-20 sales and marketing. There was already an 80-20 book that sold 1 million copies. There was no way I was going to sell 1 million copies writing another 80-20 book. But nobody had applied 80-20 to sales and marketing. Well, mm-hmm. well, it sold 50,000 copies. And like, I'm the king of that little niche. And I have people come to me and they're like, Perry, I love your 80-20 stuff. Will you help our company do this or that or whatever? Does that make sense? This does. Is a really like, and what this means is that 90% of the businesses that people look at, they should never have gone into at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you should do, you should actually wait until the right thing comes along instead of just like some of us were so action oriented, like, well, I just went to that seminar. I just learned all that stuff. So I got to apply it. So yes. I got to do this. Like, well, okay. But you know, a lot of times action drives out thought. People stop thinking about what they're doing. They stop thinking about why they're doing it.
That's one of the best part of the interview that we had, because it will save people misery, as you said before.
You know, and like, there's enough misery in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to add to it. There's no need. No. It's not necessary. I'll even add, you know, sometimes you're better off, like a job at a growing company is better than being an entrepreneur and being in charge of your own destiny in a market that's shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I've coached a lot of people, and if I rewind about 10 years, you know, remember there was that big economic crash?
Yeah.
I had several people that I was coaching along, they were part of my mastermind groups that were in real estate. And I was kind of cocky. It was like, oh man, you know, we'll market our way out of this thing. No, they all went bankrupt. There was nothing, I couldn't save them. And it was because their market caved in. You know, all the marketing in the world can't save a market that's caving in. Like, you just need to run for cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there are some people listening today, and you're like, you know, you know that your market is declining by 5% a year or 10% a year or something. Or like, you know, we're making compact discs. Well, compact discs are going away. Like, don't stay in that business. I made that mistake too with somebody. Like, oh yeah, we'll just market our way out of this.
Yeah.
Oh. No, like, find something else to do. So it's tough advice, but it really needs to be said.
Yes, yes. And it's a great way to end this, Perry. So if people want to connect with you, or if they want to get the book, where should they go?
Go to sell8020.com. And what you'll find there is, whereas the Amazon price is about $14. By the way, you can also buy this book on Audible. A lot of people like to listen to audiobooks. 8020 Sales and Marketing is also on Audible, but you can get the paper version of the book if you go to sell8020.com. In the United States, it's $7, including shipping. Internationally, it's $14. And this book has totally changed people's lives. Like, mm-hmm. you can read the Amazon reviews, and people are like, oh my word, I had no idea how much you could do with this. If you just know this one pattern, and you can see it because it's fractal. It's mm-hmm. big, it's little, it's in between, it's every size, it's everywhere you look. And you get to where you can see those 80-20 levers. You can walk into any business. You can